Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is coming. Of course, I'm sure you already knew that. After all, stores start putting up Christmas decorations around Thanksgiving anymore. The radio starts playing Christmas music right around Thanksgiving. I think it was even on the week before Thanksgiving this year. And kids, or in some cases grandkids, start making Christmas lists as soon as last Christmas is over. But in the church, our preparation for Christmas actually starts 4 Sundays before Christmas, which usually happens to be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, as is the case this year, with the season of Advent. Advent means coming, and so this is a time of preparation and prayer as we look forward both to our celebration of Christ's first coming as a babe in a manger, but also to the day of Christ's second coming depicted in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must prepare ourselves for both of these events because, honestly, we have no idea which is going to come first. We could celebrate Christmas together in 4 weeks, but we could just as easily witness Christ's second coming in 3. Fortunately, the preparation for both of these, Christ's first coming and his second coming, is the same, and we will begin today with the season of Advent. During this season, we will reflect more on the message of the season, a message which has not and will not change, but which we need to remember and take to heart. Our epistle reading from Romans 13 kicks things off with a bang, saying, "Wake up! Salvation is near." But if you're going to wake up, you first have to consider that you might be asleep. Have you ever known someone who sleepwalks? Normally, when someone is asleep, the unconscious mind's control of the body is blocked, and a sleepwalker will act out whatever they are dreaming. So a sleepwalker might be dreaming that they are preparing for work and actually get up out of bed while still asleep, make a meal, get ready for work, or possibly even drive somewhere. That is what it means to sleepwalk. Some people actually will go through life as though sleepwalking, operating entirely on autopilot without really putting any conscious thought or effort into anything. Every day is the same, every week's the same, living day to day, paycheck to paycheck, and never getting ahead or doing anything different. Some people may even go through their faith life as though they were sleepwalking. They get up on Sunday, they go to church, they repeat prayers and liturgy by rote without thinking about what they are saying and doing. They do not put conscious thought into their faith, and so they never grow in their faith. But going through life like this, whether it is actually sleepwalking, whether it's sleepwalking through life or sleepwalking through your faith, that is no way to live. Actual sleepwalking can be incredibly dangerous, especially if you find yourself behind the wheel of a car. Sleepwalking through life can be just as dangerous because you're never really getting ahead. You're never really finding any enjoyment in life. Sleepwalking through your faith can be even more dangerous because if you are not awake and aware in your faith can wither and it can even die. And so to those who are sleepwalking through their faith, Paul shouts in verse 11, "The hour has come for you to wake from sleep." You need to wake up in your faith. Now, it's always easier to wake up when the lights were on, or when the lights are on. I was usually an early riser growing up, but every so often my mom would actually have to come in and wake me up. And what she would always do is to turn on the lights. After all, it's a lot harder to stay in bed and fall back asleep when the light is on. Not impossible, but harder. And so I think that's what makes it most difficult to wake up before the sun comes up, there's no light on, and the bed is nice and warm. And that is true of our spiritual awakening, too. It is easier to wake up when the light has come. And the light has come. In Malachi chapter 4, the prophet says, "For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." Kind of hard to continue sleepwalking in your faith when the Son of Righteousness has risen. And what does that light do? The light shines in the darkness, John says, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The light is coming. And what is that light? What is that Son of Righteousness that is coming? The light is Christ. He says, "I am the light of the world." You can no longer walk in darkness because the light has come. The light of Christ shines on us and it wakes us up. And so that is what it means to say that salvation is near. It means that Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, has risen and has woken us up from our spiritual slumber. Actually, you might say that there are even two meanings to verse 11 here, where it says salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. First, of course, salvation is near to us because Christ has come near to us and has woken us up by calling us to faith. Then second, salvation is near to us because Christ is going to be returning for the second time soon, and that time is drawing ever closer. But under both of these circumstances, Paul gives us the same command in verses 12 and 13. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Wake up and walk. Walk properly as awake. Don't sleepwalk, walk as awake. And so this means to be alert and watchful, sober-minded, ready to act. When the light is on, you will behave a whole lot differently than when the lights are off. So instead of fumbling and stumbling around, you walk upright and you walk confidently. There are plenty of things that people do in the dark that they wouldn't even consider doing in broad daylight. And so you think more about what you are doing because people see. So instead of stumbling around in the dark, stand up straight, walk in the light. Instead of living in sin as though no one can see, live uprightly in faith, knowing that God, your heavenly Father, sees all. It is important for us to walk in our faith and be active in our faith. It is vital that your body is active because otherwise muscles will atrophy and weaken. Someone who is lying in bed in a coma may eventually become too weak to move even if they do wake from the coma. If you break your arm and have to wear a cast for 4 to 6 weeks, then when the cast is removed, your formerly broken arm, even though it's healed, will be drastically weaker than the arm that was never in the cast. And so we need to be active in our faith. We must be praying and speaking to God constantly. We must be worshiping to receive his gifts and blessings constantly. It is only by being active in our faith that it grows and strengthens and that we are prepared for Christ's coming. So as we approach this coming Christmas, I encourage you to be active in your faith. Do not take things for granted. Do not sleepwalk through the next 4 weeks. Do not decorate your house with lights without likewise decorating your life by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not give gifts to friends and relatives without considering the greater gift of God, Jesus Christ, who entered Jerusalem humbly on a donkey as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords to claim us as his treasured possession. Your salvation is near. The God who entered our world as a child will soon enter our world again as a man as he entered Jerusalem, a beneficent ruler. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.